So good to be with you again, but I just want to give it to my wife just to give her a little of the days with the ministry. Very short, but come on, man.
So good to see your faces. We're very happy, and it's a great joy for us to be with you. So like family, and always remember what the needs related to your church. So I will be very short, so I can give you a little more time. But as you probably know, I will give a little bit of ministry. As probably now we have, beside our ministry in America, and because teacher in one school here in America as well, but we have our own online international Bible school for Bulgarians, and we have more than 300 students this year as well. And we have like 35 pastors which are in the school, and we form like a apostolic network with them. So we do meetings every month with them. But because Bulgaria is part of the European Union, so the Bulgarians are spread everywhere in Europe. And this summer, again, like last summer, we'll spend 4 months on the mission field from the middle of May to the middle of September. And we will do conferences in their churches because at the moment they realize that we're going back to Europe, they started inviting us. So we will do, in the beginning of June, a conference in Cyprus, and for the first time we will do a pastor's retreat in Cyprus, which is one where all the pastors and spend 3 days with them and then do the conference. Beside that, we will minister in Vienna, Austria, one of our churches there in the end of June. We will do a big conference in Bulgaria. We will do 3 days in London, and at the end of our week in September, we will do a conference, 3 day conference in a small town close to Frankfurt in Germany. Besides that, we will minister in many, many churches in Bulgaria. Like last summer, we did for 4 months, 35 services, so that's what we expect. Busy ministering time. So if you want to support us, I have a little brochure. So if you want to know more about what's going on, how you can support us, I have this brochure. After the service, you can come to me on the table, which is in the fellowship hall. And inside that, we have also t-shirts, which is another way to support our mission. That one is my favorite. This one is Vito's favorite, but we have different t-shirts, so you're welcome to come to the table after the service. Love you and bless you.
So God is doing wonderful things, amen. Great things, glorious. I know from the outside what going on currently looks like crazy. But let me tell you, nothing new under the sun. Those things has been before. They will even increase, Jesus prophesied. But we, our eyes, as the book of Hebrews says, but we see Jesus. Amen. Our eyes are fixed on Jesus, and from Him we see that the future also is in His hand, and everything will be done according to His will. Let me just prophesy a little phrase, a little verse from the Bible, just to stir up the atmosphere, your expectation, your faith, in order we may accordingly appropriate the word of God. Amen. Isaiah chapter 6, the prophet sees a manifestation and the glory of the Lord. He goes like, when When King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord on a high and lifted throne, and the seraphim, the train of his mantle, of his garment, filled the temple, praise God. And above him were the seraphim, these heavenly creatures, crying out, "Holy, holy, holy." Now listen to this. But the earth is full of his glory. Amen. Actually, the literal translation is not is full, but is being filled constantly, like glimpses, like waves of God's glory, and constantly being emitted, proceeding out of the throne and filling our earth. And let me tell you, it's not the earth which is appointed to be filled with the glory. I mean, the hills around, the valleys there, and whatever is, although the springtime is here, we can see then some glory and blossom. Amen. But you and me, we are the appointed one to obtain, to receive that glory and to be filled with it. Isn't that wonderful? I'm telling you, this morning, this day, this hour, is glory appointed, being already released and waiting upon your heart, waiting upon your mind, waiting upon your agreement, waiting upon your cooperation with whatever heaven has as a will. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In heaven, we have Jesus, we have God as a king. Let him rule and reign our lives now. So, in our thoughts, in our hearts, okay? Let his glory fill our perceptions, our expectations, and let us trust and let us believe that God is more than able and capable to do beyond and above everything we can imagine, we pray, or we just ask from him. Amen. Jesus. Okay, I want to preach on the life of God. And why is this so important? Okay? Because I don't think many Christians have a deeper understanding what has happened when they got saved. Most of them, they consider themselves still like mere humans, and only the only difference is that when they ask of the Lord, he can do eventually something good and help them. Or the other part is we will be, one day we will be in heaven. We are safe, we are not going down, we are going heavenward, which is absolutely true, you know, no doubt about it. The Christian life is more than that. You see, Jesus, I have two sentences here. Jesus is not just coming into your life. Jesus actually becomes your very life. You see, he didn't just come to save you and leave you, but actually enter through the Holy Spirit, enter into your spiritual man, into your spiritual being, through his spirit, which is called the spirit of his son, actually dwells in you, and now he lives in you, and he becomes your life internally, not only externally, not only from a distance, but he becomes the substance and the power of your very life, which is a new life. You don't live with your human life anymore. Useless. You are created, you are a new creation, you are born of God, you came into a new existence from a new origin. Your origin, we came out of Adam, earthly, says Paul in Corinthians chapter 15. But our new spiritual origin, which the mind and the hands and guys know nothing about, even the people around us, but on the inside, God sees this new life born, imparted from above in the face of his Holy Spirit. Jesus didn't give his life for you only, but which is more important, he gave his life in you also. And we will prove that through several scriptures. But before that, I want to tell you how wonderful it is to be possessor of the life of God, of the life of Jesus, because every privilege, everything Jesus is by himself, like the privileges he possessed on high, every position, you know, he also freely shares with you and with me, which simply means you don't receive a quality lower from what he possesses in the face of his life. But the Bible says with the same life he was resurrected, okay, and established forever and ever, your spiritual man, okay, is also called in the same frame, into the same quality as he is, says the apostle. So are we currently on this earth, you know, we are in the same quality and in the same intensity of what he is with. Okay, and this several things concerning his privileges, just one of them, Jesus didn't say, I wish joy. Okay, I'm leaving you, I'm going to the Father, I wish you joy. No, he said that he prayed to the Father that they may have my joy made full in them. Wow, the joy he possesses of his triumph, of his victory, of his current status as the head of the universe and the beloved Son of God and everything he said. It's not the joy of the world, okay? It's a heavenly, divine ecstasy and delight. It is a bliss of which Paul speaks in his epistles, like he calls the glorious gospel, the gospel which is presented to us, he calls it the glorious gospel of the blessed God. And the Greek word used here for blessed means full of delight, full of bliss. God is happy, but not in the way we understand, you know, happiness in the world. God is blissfully, delightfully, lovely, you know, in his expression, in his majesty, in his mercy and grace. And you see, his joy, praise God, Jesus appointing you and me to be possessors of the same quality of delight and joy he had by himself. And not only to him joy, but look at that. Look at that. So that they may have my joy made full in them. I'm telling you, folks, you haven't seen anything yet. It is more appointed like glorious manifestations of knowledge which comes from above, knowing God is eternal life. Knowing means not intellectually, not just philosophically. Knowledge means being united and knowing him intimately. It's not about religion, it's about knowing the Creator, knowing your God in a way like being united with him, one spirit, because Paul said, who is united with the Lord is one spirit with him. Isn't that wonderful that beyond the limitations of his physical body, your spiritual heart, your spiritual man can live and dwell in unity with the glory, with the power, with the excellency, everything God is by himself and the life he lives with, he deposits his heart into your spirit. Hallelujah. And then Jesus said, he didn't just, I love you. Okay, he said that. We know he loves us, but which is more of that, he says, in such a manner that the love with which the Father loved me may be in them and I in them. Jesus said, the same quality of love with which the Father loved me, now I pray to the Father that you will become possessor of the same quality of love. Oh, how wonderful is to be a Christian. How wonderful is not just to be the profession of Christianity, but how wonderful is to be a son and daughter of the Most High God, to be a possessor of his heavenly divine qualities and characteristics. But you know the pinnacle, oh praise God, love is awesome, also joy. Wow, we love joy, we delight in love. But he didn't stop there. Look what he says. The difference actually between the Old Testament and the New Testament is you cannot compare. It is so vast, okay? But listen, he says, the glory, this is John, again, chapter 17, he prays to the Father as the high priest, again and again. And then he says, the glory which you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, just as we are one. And usually we translate that by they being one in unity, by social unity, you know, in our agreement, in our intellect, in our culture and stuff like that. No, that they may be one with us, because this glory makes you one with God. It's the glory of the Lord, makes you one with Him in the same manner. Jesus says, I am one with you. Give this glory to them so they may be one with us. Same quality, same characteristic, like as our union. Amen. God is rich in glory, said the Bible. And you see, His wealth, His riches of glory, He makes available for you. I want you to be encouraged. Don't remain anchored in depression. Don't remain anchored in this social current flow of what is taking place on the earth. Paul said in the book of Colossians, chapter 3, fix your eyes above, on the things above, where Christ resides in power and glory. Let your mind, let your thoughts constantly be flooded, constantly be occupied with the things He is ready to present you and to make you a partaker. Hallelujah, Peter says, he has made us partakers of the divine nature. Oh, praise God. Which simply means when He makes your spirit one with His and makes your spiritual man partaker of the divine nature, how shall you not be lifted up above the weakness, above the stumbling, above the challenges, and that will give you wisdom, that will give you revelation of things which you don't know in the natural, but you have the source. You can spend time with them. You can be flooded, you can be drenched by things, you know, which will saturate your mind, your life with this heavenly glory and stuff, so you can become more than a conqueror and overcome every circumstance of the enemy trying to bring you down. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So you see, Romans 5:10, but do you remember that scripture? In the book of Isaiah, I forgot which chapter, 40 something, but he says, have you forgotten, don't you know, have you forgotten that your Creator, your God, never gets weary, never gets tired, but He gives strength, He future, I'm telling you, has been a great help to my spiritual man in time of trouble. Because usually the enemy wants to fix your eyes, fix your entire expectation on your weakness and on your limitations. But then comes the Lord and he says, where comes the end of your power, of your strength, I step in and I become your sword of strength and power, and you are unstoppable. So you can prophesy, you can say, yes, Mr. Devil, I know it's partially true what you say about me, that by my own power I'm not able to make it. But let me tell you something. The Lord has promised in the Bible to not forget and to know something, that He's faithful to give power and strength to those who lack and who don't have anything like that in the daily life and wait upon the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Look what Romans 5:10 says. For if when we were still enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, you see, pointing to the cross, pointing to Jesus becoming a slave, becoming a sacrifice, robbing Himself, emptying Himself. How wonderful is this price He paid for you and for me. Yesterday I had a revelation, just a long and short parenthesis here. Yesterday I had a revelation. I meditated on it for hours, and I'm still chewing on it, okay? But listen, do you remember when the devil came to tempt Jesus? Okay, after 40 days, the Bible says he was abstaining from food. He fasted, okay, for 40 days, and finally he's hungry, really hungry. His body is craving for food. And he is in the desert, and the desert is not like being in Starbucks, you know, and checking your phone. I'm telling you, it's a challenging place for a human being. You are to be the beast, the Bible said. And then the devil came and he said, come on, man, you are the Son of God. You get all the ability, all the power, all the privileges to overcome this situation by the miraculous power you possess as the Son of God. Why don't you just command these stones to become bread? That was a temptation, amen. And at that time, Jesus, as hungry as he was, as tired and exhausted as he was, he refused the offer. And he remained hungry, weak, empty, amen. And he said, not by bread alone. He is the will. He is the creature. He is the will of God, and I'd rather follow and obey His will. Okay. And the devil, you know, offers something else. But the point is this. Later on, at that moment, he refused to use his miraculous power to feed himself. Amen? He made empty, humble, infinite, suffering servant of God. Later on, in months of the week, during his early ministry, a huge crowd of people followed him and came on a mountain. Do you remember that? And they surrounded him and stood with him for 3 days. And then Jesus, in his compassion, turns to his disciple, and he goes like, I have compassion for these people. I don't want them to go hungry, empty, fainting, or the Greek who faint. We have to feed and strengthen these people. And then the disciples went like, oh, we don't care if we're in the room of faith, we don't care, but it's, we don't care about the line of the story. Then someone stepped in faith and gave a little bread to fish, you know, and he took it. And then something else. That's a different story from the story in the desert. Worship your Creator. Worship your Savior. That's a different, different approach, different story from what we see in the desert. Who is like the Lord? For himself, he will not make a miracle. For himself, he prefers to remain hungry, humble. But when it comes to you, he does the miraculous. He performs the impossible. And he creates a big amount of food, you know, in a supernatural way now. But for us, for the fulfill the will of God, 12 baskets remain like a full, you know, let's go first after each and every one ate to the full. Who is like the Lord? Is there any Lord, any God like that? Oh, praise God, Mr. Romans 5:10. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son. All these things I already mentioned, you know, he paid for us. Look at that now. Much more. Our covenant season is marked by the words, expect much more for you and for me to be available and to be a present help in a time of need. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Bow down and worship your Lord and Savior. We are saved and reconciled not by what we are able, capable, doing, although, you know, this power working on the inside, which wants to manifest the good by life and soul to the world. We don't deny the intentions of God in us to do good. But don't forget that the power is from his life, because Paul says, we shall be saved by his life. Wow. It is, or let me put it in that way, Jesus, in the Gospel, Jesus said, because I live, you will live also. He is the second Adam. He is the new head, the new general representative of the new human race, which consists of the believers, of the born again, those who are born again, praise God, children of the Most High God, which is us, the body of Christ and the church. And if he lives, the head lives, we will live also. When Jesus' mother is awakened, two different parts follow the same pattern, the head and the body. Not only the head of Jesus was resurrected, but the body also followed. Let me explain what I'm trying to tell you. When Peter entered in the tomb, amen, you remember, they were competing with John, who will arrive first to see the glorious news that Jesus is not in the tomb, in, announced by Mary. So first, John arrives, okay? And, you know, Peter is always included, okay? So John arrives first, he enters, and the Bible says, after him, Peter entered and saw and believed. He saw something, and then as a result, he was convinced and he believed. So the question is, what did he saw so he might believe? The Bible says he saw the handkerchief for the head, for the face, and then the burial cocoon of the body, which was wrapped into stripes of linen, stripes, you know, and anointed by Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus. You remember the story, okay? So So they put him in the tomb. But now Peter sees something amazing, that the head is not there of Jesus, okay? Because the handkerchief for the head is folded and put aside. But the miraculous, the glorious thing now what we see is that the cocoon is empty and the body is also not living, which simply says and means where the head is, the body follows the order. Where the body, Paul says constantly again and again, we are the body of Christ. We are members of his body. We are partakers of him. And then, where the head is, we will be saved by his life, miraculous, taken and translated out of the grief, the old grief of death, the very old spirit of death, you know, whatever limitations, not like Lazarus. Lazarus came out, right, do you remember? Lazarus come out, and the dead stood at the entrance, right, into his, linen stripes and stuff like that, and Jesus said, lose him, you know, unwrap him and let him go. So they had to work on Lazarus in order to take him out of this burial clothes and stuff like that. When Jesus, praise God, he was miraculously, you know, taken out, translated out of his old burial tomb and established as a new creation, as a new creature, not limited anymore by the limitations of this world. Listen, John 5:11. 1 John 5:11. And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. Come on, Paul. You see, this life you possess, you don't live with your own ability. You live with the life of Christ himself. Because the former life you obtained from the first Adam. You remember the Bible says that after the fall, Adam and Eve had children, and they bore children with the Bible described according to their likeness and their image. Whatever was born of Adam and Eve was carrying the likeness and the image of fallen creatures separated from the glory of the Lord, thrown outside of the Garden of Eden. Amen? No access to the tree of life. That's the first origin. And we bore that image and that likeness until the day you said, yes, salvation of the Lord, and you obtained and received the Holy Spirit, and got born again, and that nature of your creation. Now you live after the image and the likeness after the second Adam, who dies no more. Praise God. And this life, says the apostle, has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son, not in the first Adam anymore. Jesus promised we will never die. But of course, the body decays and dies, but you are not the body anymore, because your new man, the spiritual one, one day will be granted with a glorious body, which will fully answer the picture on the inside which God created you and has given you. Listen to this. He continues. He who has the Son has light. He who doesn't have the Son of God doesn't have light. It's that simple. It's that simple. Hope is about light. It's not about ethics, morals, as good as they are, teachings, and stuff like that. Compared to the other leaders, philosophical leaders and streams in this world, They would teach you something. They would present some wisdom, some lessons, you know, and stuff like that. But Jesus is more than that. Jesus came, first of all, to give you life, which simply means to take you out of the grip of death and establish you eternal life and make you a, not a slave of death, but make you a son of the glorious light of the Father of which you are born. Aha! These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son. That's the one. That's the one. I will finish with scriptures with this last verse from Ephesians. Hallelujah. And I will give you a picture from the Old Testament in order we may more fully grasp the concept of the New Testament theology concerning our spiritual life. So, unfortunately, I have erased which chapter and which verse. This is the Ephesians. It says, even when we were dead, this is the Amplified version, very important, okay? Later on, I may find the verse in the chapter. Actually, let me try. Ephesians. Two, four. Hallelujah. 2:4. Let me read it first. Even when we were dead, slain by our own shortcomings and trespasses, he made us alive together in fellowship and in union with Christ. Then, here a short explanation because it's the Amplified Bible. Then he says, listen to this very carefully. He gave us the very life of Christ himself, the same new life with which he quickened him. Wow, let me read that again. Okay, so he made us alive together in fellowship and in union with Christ. He gave us the very life of Christ himself, the same new love with which he quickened him. Praise the Lord. What a glorious, powerful thing for you. Hallelujah. So, let me give you a picture and an implication. Here is a story in the Old Testament, which I know actually which chapter of it. 2 Kings, chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6, a miracle performed by the ministry of prophet Elisha. Okay? And listen, he goes with his disciples. What they do, they are cooking wood. One of them, somehow, the head of the axe slipped off, blew and fell in the midst of the river. And you know it's iron. And you know iron cannot flow, okay? And it's stuck deep in the mud, there in the river, no more. And the disciple was terrified. Oh, what shall I do? Alas, my master, I bow to him. And he likes to go to do a miracle, you know, to help him. And he goes like, show me the place where he fell. And he's showing him the place. There is no human ability and way to take it out. But he does something amazing. He finds a branch of like a plant. He cuts the branch the plant. He brings it to the place where the diamond fell, and he throws that fresh cut branch at the place. Suddenly the Bible says, now the iron is lifted up and floating next to its savior. The same power and ability in the branch is released in the nature, in the structure of iron, and iron now is able to do what the branch is able to do. The iron can imitate, be in the same position, be in the same qualities, restore this practice, which happens in the natural is impossible. And what is this story talking about? Jesus in the Bible, in several places, very clearly is called the branch. And Isaiah 53, the Bible says, he was cut from the life of the living, from the land of the living ones. His life was taken away. Okay, and he was nailed to a tree. Okay, and when he gets his life for you and for me, oh, praise God, the price was paid in order you might be taken from the bottom of your destruction, from the mud of the fall, and raised up and seated together with him in heavenly places, right next to him, beside the right side of the Father. Same quality, same ability, only one requirement. The branch had to be cut from its source. Jesus, his life was taken in order he may cover your punishment, whatever we deserve to pay by ourselves. He paid it on the cross, and then he says in the New Testament, I'm ready to finish, okay? He says in the New Testament, oh, praise God, when I will be lifted up as the serpent of the fullness, okay, of the Lord, talking about the cross. He said, when I will be lifted up, when the Son of Man be lifted up, he will grow all unto himself. Isn't that repeated as a memory in the story of the Old Testament? When the branch was cut and placed exactly on the place where the iron Son, boom, immediately he was lifted up, he was thrown up, and now restored for the purposes he was created. And Elijah said, take it, bring it back, and restore it instead of using it. Amen. You and me, we live with the life of God. Life as God had it. Life as God has it. Indestructible, eternal. Amen. So we're created to serve the altar, to pray for you, to lay hands, sicknesses, you know, whatever taking place in your mental faculties, in your soul. Otherwise, thank you once again for being such a great friend and helping the ministry even beyond the altar. And we love you and appreciate you. And we pray here the great system of victory, courage, boldness. Amen.